upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. Patrick Wood here for Technocracy News and Trends. Today is June 28, 2019. We have a continuing story of the saga of big tech and big tech's revenge on anybody who blows the whistle on their activities and their nefarious plans. First, however, we're going to cover one small story on a new development at the Pentagon concerning surveillance. Of course, we know that the Pentagon, along with DARPA and the military, are acutely interested in surveillance technology for the purpose of identifying everybody in their combat zone so that they can take the appropriate actions they say. And a new form of identification has been developed now in a practical way, and that is your heartbeat. Well, you know what iris scanning is, you know what facial scanning is, you know what fingerprints are, you know that in some cases the way you walk can be a unique identifier for you. But did you know now that your heartbeat is an absolute unique signature for every person? This is kind of a new revelation to me, but they have discovered it and they figured out how to make it work. In fact, they can use their new infrared laser at distances up to 220 yards away to read your heartbeat signature and get a perfect match on your identity. Now, here's the problem with this. In the hands of technocrats, this is comparable to offering a lollipop to a two-year-old. They're going to have a spasm over this because no data has been collected yet to cross-reference against. So the rush is going to be on to collect data. And oh, this is what technocrats love to do, is to build a new database from scratch that will yield better results on surveilling and identifying people than anything else they have in their arsenal. Of course, facial recognition is important, but if you can't see someone's face, you cannot identify them by their face. So this offers a new way, because it doesn't matter which way you're standing, you can be scanned right through your clothes, right through whatever you're wearing, up to 220 yards away, and they think that distance is going to increase as they perfect the technology. Well, the race will be on to collect the data now. This will be right up the alley of medical apps on smartphones and smartwatches. Be careful now. If you wear a Fitbit or an Apple Watch that's monitoring your heartbeat, that signature can be recorded. And if your data is sold to any one of these companies that would like to build a database now of signatures of people, oh, you'll be in it. You can bet on it. Technocrats love to collect data. It's the oil of the 21st century to them. This is the bonanza of a lifetime for technocrats, is to build databases that can identify people. Now, the big story of today is a follow-up to yesterday's story that I wrote on Technocracy News and Trends called Google, None Dare Call It Sedition. And indeed, there's a few other names that might be added to that in addition to sedition. I won't mention any of them now, but you just might use your imagination. But it has been revealed today in another article that big tech is ganging up on Project Veritas to literally crush them. No holds barred here. Big tech is on fire against being exposed by Project Veritas. And I might add, Project Veritas added virtually no editorial overlay on the information that they released on Google. They videotaped an insider, an executive that wanted to testify, a whistleblower, testified incognito, and then they posted a video of Jen Janai, a Google executive. The video was secretly filmed, of course, but Jen Janai made damning statements against Google and against their intentions to control U.S. elections and to make sure that somebody like Trump never gets elected again. This is social engineering at its extreme. Project Veritas really did nothing more than just expose what these people said about their own company. Well, that set off a chain reaction. And not only is Google hopping mad at Project Veritas, but all of their big technocrat friends have jumped on the bandwagon as well. So YouTube is banning videos. Pinterest, Reddit, Vimeo, and other social media platforms are just basically uninventing Project Veritas. This does remind you, by the way, of the book 1984 with the Ministry of Truth, where when some convenient piece of information came up that didn't fit the autocratic dictatorship, they simply wrote it out of existence. They just erased it, changed the story, saved the record. Nobody would ever know the difference. So people just disappeared. Not only disappeared physically, but they disappeared from all the records to where there was no trace of them. It's just like they were never born. In fact, it used that exact phraseology in the book. Well, this is what big tech is trying to do now to Project Veritas, and I might add a whole lot of other organizations who have dared to cross them and expose their plans, like technocracy.news, by the way. And I have to say that because we have identified these groups as technocrats long ago, we were really the first to do this. They finally figured out that we have their number two. So Technocracy News has been severely shadow banned by all of these platforms. Do I care? Yes. Will that stop me? Hardly. I don't think it's going to stop Project Veritas either. In fact, I don't think it's going to stop anybody that's finally figuring out that there is a full-blown war going on right now where big tech is being pitted against everyone else. And it's not just conservatives that are being harassed. I mentioned yesterday in an article that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., yes, that's Bobby Kennedy's son, he's a lawyer, an activist, an environmentalist, and he is passionate on exposing vaccines as being harmful. In fact, he's kind of leading that movement. They hate him with a passion. He's liberal, not conservative, but he has all the same problems that Project Veritas has. So you see, it's not just conservatives that are being banned. It might seem that way sometimes because you don't hear about cases like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. But the technocrat position is unique in society. They are proclaiming themselves to be the ultimate social engineers of society. They are claiming that they know what's best because of their scientific prowess and their power and their wealth, that they and they alone can tell society what's best for it. Well, this is not going to sit well with society. Technocrats from the 1930s, by the way, had exactly the same attitude. They never bothered to ask anybody else whether they really wanted to go along with this program. They merely just stood up and said, "We have arrived, and of course, we know what's best for you. So why wouldn't you just go along with us?" And when resistance came along and people started saying no, they were aghast. Their jaws were on the floor. "How could you say such a thing? We have science on our side. We know what's best. It's a scientific fact, and the science is settled. What are you arguing about?" Oh, this sounds a lot like the global warming thing right now, doesn't it? Al Gore claimed that science deniers deserve to be punished. Well, I guess that would include the 30,000 scientists who have written papers debunking global warming. All those scientists, yeah, they don't count. Well, this is the attitude that big tech has. So they have no moral or ethical problem in trying to bury somebody like Project Veritas. But the interesting thing is they're colluding together now. This was obvious to me even last year when I created the nonprofit group, Citizens for Free Speech. It was obvious that these big tech companies were selectively pinpointing people for exclusion. This is painfully obvious with Project Veritas now. YouTube, Reddit, Vimeo, Google, of course, Twitter, other platforms, they're all ganging up on and piling on Project Veritas to remove them from the fabric of society. If they could, they would drive them completely out of existence. I seriously doubt that that's going to happen, but that is the desire of big tech. Now, the third story ties into this perfectly. The headline of the story is "Leftist Hound MasterCard to Put Conservatives Out of Business." Now, this is another angle that we haven't discussed too much yet, but the full court press that's being applied against the conservative voice, at least in America, is attempting to cut off financial sources to organizations that they disagree with. And MasterCard is right in the middle of this controversy. I started out by writing, anti-conservative forces of many different stripes are waging asymmetric warfare against all conservative elements of society, and a few liberal ones as well, I might add, to completely silence them. MasterCard has already crippled several conservative groups by withdrawing their ability to receive donations. Now, isn't this clever? All of these organizations, including Technocracy News, exist by the contributions of their constituents. What better way to put them out of business than to cut off their funds? So this article starts out on Tuesday, leftist activists targeted MasterCard shareholder meeting, demanding the board of directors adopt a human rights committee dedicated to blacklisting organizations unfairly accused of being hate groups by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Activists with the group Some of Us pestered the board with spurious questions about, quote, doing business with criminals in pursuit of, quote, blood money. A representative of this leftist group, Some of Us, Nandini Jami, demanded the shareholders and board members support Proposal 5, quote, which asks the board of directors to create a human rights committee at the board level. Oh, and they brought forth petitions and signatures and this, that, and the other, demanding that MasterCard stop processing payments for far-right hate groups. And no surprise here, they're working with the Southern Poverty Law Center to determine who is a hate group. Well, that's just about every conservative group in America now. Jami said, I'm here to inform you that you have lost control of your financial network. Thanks to your financial partners, you are open for business with criminals. These charges are so spurious and so outrageous that it's inconceivable, but it works. Once this group of haters themselves figured out that an organization like MasterCard would cave to pressure, it began to draw every foul bird of the universe to come in and put pressure on them, to shove them even further to support their agenda. The SPLC, or Southern Poverty Law Center, has been exposed multiple times now as being a fraudulent organization that is set up to spread hate itself, even though it says it's the Southern Poverty Law Center against hate groups. They've been identified themselves now as a hate group. And this article points out that this March, the SPLC was roiled with a racism and sexism scandal. And amid the scandal, former employees admitted that the hate group accusations were an elaborate fundraising scheme. That's right. The hate group accusations were fraudulent, but they figured out they could raise money from people who wanted to fight those hate groups. So the SPLC accumulated hundreds of millions of dollars while accusing everybody else of being a hate group. The campaign from Some of Us condemns MasterCard for doing business with a broad swath of organizations that we now know were unjustly demonized by the SPLC. These organizations, listen to who they're going after. These organizations include the American Freedom Law Center, AFLC, Act for America, the American College of Pediatricians, the American Family Association, Americans for Legal Immigration PAC, the Center for Family and Human Rights, and the Center for Security Policy, and Jihad Watch. All of these have been identified as organizations that, in their mind, deserve to be completely destroyed. The article states, MasterCard in particular seems to have been responsible for Patreon booting Jihad Watch and its founder off its platform. Jihad Watch monitors radical Islam and radical Islamic terror. These actions are far from illegal or hateful. Similarly, ACT for America and the Center for Security Policy promote America's national security. Many conservative Christian organizations on the SPLC's anti-LGBT hate group list follow the Bible's definition of marriage and reject gender identity. The hate group accusations have inspired at least one terrorist attack against the Family Research Council. In some cases, even the conservative hate group's ideological opponents have rebutted the hate group's accusations. In the case of Alliance Defending Freedom, a Christian law firm that has won 8 Supreme Court cases in recent years, a former ACLU president and current president of the secularist group Military Religious Freedom Foundation have condemned the false accusation that ADF is a hate group. Some of us is being disingenuous when they attempt to force companies like MasterCard to blacklist these organizations. Nevertheless, this isn't really about MasterCard, and it isn't really about some of us. What this is really about is the full-on war being levied across America against voices of dissent. These people have no other way to silence us. They can't do it by moral high ground. They can't do it legally. They can't do it through any other economic influence because they have no economic influence. All they can do is come around the back door, waging guerrilla warfare in a sense, and attack companies like MasterCard to do their bidding. Nevertheless, this is where they have chosen to wage their battle. In the end, this is going to get very ugly, I fear, unless some type of common sense is put back into the discussion. There's no way that this can end either quickly or peaceably. These people have declared outright that they want to destroy this element of our country that indeed has made our country what it is in the first place. Big tech is now showing its true colors as being a hotbed of technocracy and technocrats. They have declared it's their way of the highway. They've also declared, basically, that they have the money to put where their mouth is, and they are. Now it's time for the American people to stand up and tell them what we think, and if we don't, they will only be emboldened to do more of the same. Well, that's the long and the short of the story. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. See you next time.